and thank you for tuning in to My Trainer Live podcast with Kathy Dolan. I know you're here because you realize the importance of good health and fitness. My Trainer Live is all about the whole body, mind, and spirit. My training and coaching philosophy is built to personalize custom programs based on your physiology. You know, muscle is the organ of longevity, and our health and fitness goals need to meet you right where you're at. Start right where you're at with your schedule, your life, and your priorities. I design programs that will transform not just your body, but your mind, the place where healthy life decisions are made. Overall health is key to your success. That is why cookie cutter programs just don't work in the long term. If the thought of eating chicken and rice for weeks on end and hitting draining workouts week after week is keeping you from your true health, you've got some old school thinking and some modernization in your future. After years of working with clients one-on-one, I just want to share my knowledge with you and give you the tools in your tool belt using both science-backed methods and years of my training. I love this topic, and even hearing and listening to these podcasts starts your belief system. And that is the first stage to change. You will feel empowered when you take that first step. Please leave a 5-star rating at the end of today's show and share it with your tribe. I love to help listeners, followers, to understand movement, fitness, healthy living, and maybe inspire somebody out there to just make one small change today to live the strongest, healthiest life possible. Today on the podcast, we are talking about macros, meals, movement, and timing, how to optimize your metabolic flexibility. A few tips on if you're starting weight training and you're pretty new at it, I have a few tips for you. And the do's and don'ts for glute training, the few exercises to skip and the best ones to keep in your program. Like to start the podcast with roses and thorns, gains and losses. For my thorn, it's been a month since I've been on here, so a lot has happened, but just remember that real people, real women, real girls and guys aren't perfect. Perfect women, girls and guys, people aren't real. So if you see somebody that's looking perfect, you have to realize that that is not realistic. And you don't want to set a standard of judging yourself to others. I posted an exercise a little while back that I was trying out, and I even put on the caption that I was, trying this exercise. It needed some tweaks, but this is what I found so far. I'll be refining it, but keep watching. And somebody from another field, she was actually a yoga teacher, came in and critiqued my post, and she actually was kind of an associate, a friend, like business friend sort of thing. Didn't know her very well. But I mentioned in the post that it was a test run, so don't be quick to judge, but I'll let you guys know what I think. And just a few layers underneath, I have like an ovarian cyst. So when I lay on my stomach, I have to be super careful because I was a little uncomfortable. So I was trying to make adjustments, but that aside, she didn't know that. But my point is, people are quick to judge without reading and doing a little homework. Just within 6 seconds, they're judging. And the whole point of the post was to educate. And I've talked to some other trainers, and they seem to have the same problem. So it's a little bit of a kind of a running joke. But, you know, read the captions, take a breath before you judge, and really ask yourself, is this going to help or hinder before you make statements or post things on social media. But that, I would say that was the one little thorn of my week. Here is the rose, though. I did get a super sweet letter, email from a friend that just, it was unexpected. You know how you get those things out of the blue that just really validates what I do and my purpose and acts of kindness and things like that. When somebody sends you a compliment, it just feels really good. So I was really uplifted by this friend who took the time to write me an email. And just be reminded, it is our nature to be kind. And you will love as much as you trust. If we don't trust ourselves or others, we don't trust the natural flow of life. So create space and time to cultivate patience and understanding of others, and then we create harmony. I seem to always include stories about my kids, my teen, and if you're a mom, you know what I'm talking about. But a lot of times those are my roses, right? So one day my daughter said to me, "Mom, are you going to put me on your podcast again?" And I said, "Well, honey, you are the rose of my life." So I try to throw some other stuff in there, but she is definitely the rose of my life and my two boys. And I seriously find joy in these things in my life. So that is my rose. Let's get into the podcast today. Meals and movement. That's just been something that's been stuck in my head. It's so important. We tend to want to just sit after we eat, but it's so important that you're doing your macros, you're eating your meals, but that you're timing your meals and your movement. So that's one thing I'm going to talk about, is how to optimize your metabolic flexibility. Glucose goes up, insulin goes up as soon as you're done eating, because you're moving into what you hopefully feel is the fed state, and where you're fed and you're happy and you're content. And I find that if you don't get to the fed state, or you overdo it, you're always stuffing way beyond, you miss out on a lot. And I find with women, we tend to undereat, we tend to do intermittent fasting for too long, and we never feel fully satiated, fully fed. And I don't want you to think I'm saying stuffed or you're uncomfortable. That's a whole different topic, but just that fed state, right? Where you just feel, that glucose clearing, that accelerated rate of digestion that happens right after you eat a meal or a snack. If you can get right up after a meal and get moving, it doesn't have to be a sweaty workout, but just right away after a meal is more effective than waiting an hour or waiting till your food digests. Remember hearing that when you're growing up, wait till your food digests. I found that this method, along with bouts of clean intermittent fasting, and there's a difference between clean and dirty, and you'll if you want to read about it, you'll find putting cream in your coffee is breaking the fast and things like that. But intermittent fasting is basically going without food. And they don't count coffee as food. Cream in your coffee, cream is food. Tends to work for me. So I think that this getting up and moving has always been a little bit more in my nature, getting up and doing the dishes. And, you know, I've been to friends' houses where we have dinner and then right away she's up putting, you know, dishes in the dishwasher. And I think that's a good habit. Insulin resistance is real and it plays a big role in our fat burning and our fat storing. So a short walk, like I said, doing the dishes, sweeping the floor after eating, it all helps to manage our blood glucose and our blood sugar levels. Walking again right after a meal is more effective than waiting an hour. And this is studied. I read a study in the International Journal of General Medicine that talked about that one. I remember being pregnant. And I taught classes all the way through my pregnancy, but I would go teach and the baby was all happy and, you know, kind of riding for the bumps and wiggles and working out. And then soon as I came home, had something to eat, the babies would wake up and move. So every time I ate, babies would move. So if you've been pregnant, you know what I'm talking about. And of course they would sleep while I exercised. So I would get this great workout, feeling really good, feeling worked, and then I'd come home to eat, and then right away, baby's moving. So get up and move around right along with the baby, right? Studies suggest taking a walk before you eat has some beneficial effects too. In fact, if you walk before you eat, like go out and do walk the dog before you're going to make dinner, say, I tend to do that. You tend to burn more fat as your primary source of fuel. So that's something to kind of remember. I'm not suggesting that you walk before and after. I know everybody's busy, but my point is you're going to win either way if you walk right before a meal or right after a meal. Just remember, carbs have 4 calories per gram, fat has 9 calories per gram. So when your body burns calories, regardless of whether they're coming fat or carbs. So in order to lose weight, you must burn more than you consume. So you can't lose either way, walk before or walk after a meal. Think about this too. When you go out after a meal, you're de-stressing, especially if you go outside. It doesn't have to be a walk necessarily, but going outside does help. Say it's winter, say it's dark, say you really don't want to go around that block again. You know, you could pick up some body bands and tie them to the bedpost and do some high rows, some low rows while you're catching the housewives or whatever you like to watch, Netflix series. I've also started following these YouTubes where you jump on and they have a really nice beat and you just walk. You walk a 3K while you're watching TV, while you're whatever. So those are great ways to get movement after meals. I'm also doing 30-minute classes now where you can jump on after lunch, live, have some interaction, have some community. And those are just, we're really enjoying those. So if you're interested in trying one of those classes out with us live on Zoom, just hit me up on any of my social media. Hit me up. When you eat a large dinner, your blood sugar spikes, which leads to a subsequent drop, and you wake up with a major case of the hungry. So going to bed with a full belly makes it hard to fully relax. So if you need to sleep, you want to balance your hormones. If you wake up grabbing coffee and carbs for energy, first of all, start with a big glass of water and then gravitate more towards the protein fiber meal to break your fast. Smaller portions, but a light meal nonetheless. Generally, fats early in the day is better. Exactly what ratios or what you could eat or plug into your macros preference sheet. So switch that up a little bit. If you're waking up grabbing carbs, just try upping the macros of fat in the morning and see what that does. And then when you get to the evening, go ahead and your carbs can be a little bit higher in the evening. The burn factor is the main point. Move the fat out of the cells. Mobilize. Step one, burn. Use it for energy. Oxidation, step two. Mobilize. It needs to happen to burn it. It goes back to fat. Convert ATP burn is influenced by hormones, and the nervous system is the controller. Think of movements of training. Instead of in terms of cardio and weight, start thinking more, that's just pretty black and white, cardio or weights, and that's okay. But think more in, when you look back over the week, my clients fill out weekly fitness journals and we look back over the week just to see what we're hitting as far as our workouts. Think HIIT, high intensity interval training, which puts us at a sub max 80% recovery intervals with bursts of a recovery. So that's a good one, HIIT. Sit, sprint, interval training, SIT, 8 to 30 seconds of sprints, all out. More and more you're going to read, getting out of breath is really good for us. So once a week, twice a week, get out of breath. Next is MICT, and this is long duration, moderate intensity, continuous training. So that would be a 50 to 70 minute long duration run, a bike ride, swimming, classes. I've been to classes that have been 70 minutes long. All of this has a different effect on the hormones and the metabolism. So it's really good, again, to mix up your movement. So think of movement in terms of all these things I just spoke of. The most powerful way to lose the body fat is movement. All forms, even subtle movement, can greatly induce fat loss. Fidgeters may overeat, but studies find they don't gain weight. I've added small bites of movement to my life as opposed to long runs and walks because of time restriction. And I will tell you, it really adds up. If you have 10 minutes, you know, put some steps in your bank there, the total for the day. And also remember, even micro movements, that little fidgeting, that tapping on the table during a meeting, you know, although I've been in meetings, people wouldn't want you to tap on the table, but these are not exercise activities. It's just a fancy term for just getting a lot of activity into your day aside from your planned exercise. think maybe a short walk, hitting some golf balls in between jobs, gardening, going out and pulling some weeds in the backyard, organizing. I'm big on organizing right now, closets, decluttering and things like that. So all that little stuff adds up. It helps your bottom line, helps your burn factor, the size of your furnace. Go outside without a jacket, get a little cold. Cold is refreshing. Cold builds up our beige and brown fat. So if you're doing the cold water submersion, that's another good one. This is going to build up your beige and brown fat. I'm going to talk about that on the next episode. So watch for that one. You know, you build up mental resilience when you take a cold shower or an ice bath. You shiver it up. I remember when I moved to Mammoth, I literally lost 10 pounds right away because I was adapting, number one, to the high altitude, and number two, to those temperatures. When I moved back down towards the beach, I went through the same process. I was cold all the time here because it felt very damp. People have gone as far as wearing ice packs all over their body. This is a new trend. And they might do it for a few months and really start to see a difference in their metabolism. The key is not to overdo it, to take a break from it. Take a break from your cold showers, your ice baths, your heat and sauna. So again, kind of use a little bit of mix up when you're using these modalities. Long story short here, guys, don't sit after a meal. You can sit later. Let's talk about meals and timing. Fasted exercise is still being studied and stacked up as a contributor to really getting that fat burning. But if you're training more for performance and you aren't in the category of trying to burn a lot of fat, then you make sure that you realize you're in a different category than what I'm talking about here. So how do we get there without having to spend 90 minutes to get to that fat burning? High intensity training for 60 seconds, intervals 20 to 60 minutes total time, you're going to come out with that shift. The fat burning comes earlier. There's a shift that happens earlier in the 90 minutes, say. So again, see how the types of exercise is going to affect fat burning. Burn more body fat with intensity for 20 minutes. Medium intensity will burn a higher percentage of body fat. So just get moving. And if you're short on time, like I said, go into the high intensity training. If you have the luxury of doing 90 minute rides or runs, that's awesome. Realize that once you hit the 90 minute mark, you're really starting to burn that fat. Anaerobic training, it taps into our glycogen stores more, which is more fat after all. Post exercise, you oxidize fat for 8 to 12 hours. Cardio burns fat during. But remember, post-exercise, you're gonna oxidize that weight training, all those types of things. You're going to be burning that for 8 to 12 hours. Bottom line here is make sure you breathe hard every day. You look at the patterns of your exercise. And remember, the one thing that signals your body to oxidize fat is adrenaline. That is the effector, the pathway to fat burning. You got to get out of breath. You got to get a little uncomfortable. Let's talk about macros. It is still my top choice for measurement. Just like anything in dieting, it's a skill. And after you get used to it and you have an openness to learn and you approach it with a different mentality, a different mindset, you're going to get better at it. I think a lot of times we think of macro counting, we might flash back to a time when we might have dieted or severely cut our calories, and that was uncomfortable. But macro counting nowadays is a little different. Stacking macros is so important. You will feel so much better, and it will be so much easier for you to continue on your plan of lifting and running or whatever your health and fitness goals are, losing weight. If you're still hungry after dinner, look at your dinner macros. What did your dinner consist of? I will tell you, I have given meal plans that have worked amazingly well for like the first 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, pushing it to 8 weeks. But I've also done meal plans where I change them every month. I will tell you, meal plans rarely work in the long run. You will get so good at macros that you'll end up at the baseball stadium and you'll know what to order that will fit within your range. you'll be able to create your own meal plans and lean on it. You're going to really lean on that basic template. It's easy when you think of terms of macros instead of labeling food good or bad. Oh, that hot dog at the stadium is so bad, or whatever you're ordering. Meal plans work for the short term, but there's a big difference between doing something that works short term versus long term. I am definitely in the category of long term with my clients. Most of my clients have been with me a long time. We've been through ups, downs, and all around. That's the type of client that I just do really well with. So instead of asking or wanting to be told exactly what to eat, I remember I had a client last summer. She basically just said, "I just want you to tell me exactly what to do." And I knew that was a little bit of a red flag to the mindset, right? It's not going to do me any good to tell you exactly what you need to do, because I'm not going to be with you at the baseball stadium, at that wedding. I'm not going to be with you when you go on vacation, right? Ask who you need to be. Ask yourself, who do I need to be, and embody that? What kind of person can I be in making my choices, in setting my meal plans, my consistency? You will become the person who eats healthier, is accountable when you move from doing something to being someone who finds the way. And I hope I inspire you to find the way, because there is a thing called diet fatigue. And I covered it a few episodes back, but I'll bring it up here as we go into spring and summer here. Summer. You will get sick of tracking. You will get bored. It will go in periods. But I went through a little period of time where I had gotten really good at counting and I didn't need to anymore. Well, I'm back. I'm counting again because I have some training goals for the summer. But you need to have actions in place when you hit the plateaus, because we all do. Just to conclude, adding something as little as a quick walk or a movement snack before and after eating helps with weight loss. Count your macros. Get a head count into the ballpark of where you are with your macros again, and lean into that. Lean into that with joy and pleasure. You don't have to be in workout clothes or shoes to get some movement. I used to think that. I was like, oh, let me go change my clothes. No, you can do movement. I have clients that show up to little 30-minute classes in their jeans or their gardening clothes. It doesn't matter. It's not like it used to be. Intermittent fasting. If you're using that, women need to give it a try. Hit those protein macros in your intermittent fasting. If you're looking for hacks, how to get protein, that's the number one question I get. It's so hard to get that many grams of protein. It's really not, guys. 30 to 40 grams a meal should shut off your hunger hormones. And if you're having a hard time making the fast, try feeding to the point of satiation or feeling fed. Now, don't forget, menstrual cycles and all these things should be noted in your notes, and they do take extra carbs. And the point is not to be deeply restricted on carbs on those days. You'll get through those days. Don't ignore your cravings, as they're usually an indication of some need. For instance, craving salt may mean you need to manage your stress a little better. Lean in for adrenal support. Sugar, maybe you're needing more protein. Stabilize those blood sugars. Always use fresh when you can. Right down to the garlic. If you can use fresh garlic instead of powder, do so. Again, watch her future podcast on those topics. Takeaways. Understanding your metabolic health is continual, as our bodies are always changing. Carbs are not evil. Movement is good and necessary. Insulin resistance increases as the day goes on. I'll say that again. Insulin resistance increases as the day increases. 40% of your calories, get them done early. For intermittent fasting, try skipping dinner instead of breakfast. Again, if you're a person who has problems sleep, I wouldn't recommend that. But the point is to try some of these things I'm suggesting if you're kind of at a plateau. Support your body. It's an amazing system. The feeding window, close it. Close the kitchen. Shut it down early. And do this for 5 days a week. Give yourself 2 days a week where there's no schedule. But for 5 days a week, close your kitchen and try to cut off the feeding window, 7 o'clock, 7:30, and keep things fresh. Find recipes that work. If you follow Coach's Cupboard over there on Instagram, I am constantly, my latest thing is chia seed pudding with protein powder. You're going to get 40, 45 grams of protein in one serving. So again, in your mind, if you take that big macro piece of pie of protein and you divide it into three meals, it's not so big now, right? The same with your movement. If you look at, I got to get 10,000 steps in a day. No, you don't. But if you can just increase your movement throughout the day in little small bites, instead of thinking, I got to go for a 90-minute run after work to get this done. To me, that's daunting. If I've worked all day and to think I'm only at, 3,000, 4,000 steps and that I have to go out and just pound the pavement for 90 minutes, that's not fun to me. I would rather during the day go take a 15-minute quick walk, jump in and do a 30-minute class and get 3,000 steps. Things like that. That works for me. All right. Couple tips when you're starting a weight training program. Make sure you use slow progression to avoid injuries. I love newbies in my weight training program and I get so excited for you. But please be careful where you're getting your information. I had another case over there on TikTok of a gal that I had been watching and I just kind of popped her a little private message, of course, and just asked her if she was a trainer and she said, oh, I'm not certified, but I am training people. I just haven't had time to get my certification. Well, I admire that she wants to help people, but sadly, as I've seen her come across social media, her form is very uneducated. So that makes me a little bit sad. But if you are starting a weight training program, invest in yourself and learn it right from the start so you don't have to go back and undo poor form or misinformation. There's even a debate going on right now over there on Instagram that, the last rep face, if you're a beginner, you shouldn't get a last rep face. Well, first of all, what is a last rep face? It's when you're really pushing to get through. If you set a goal of 12 reps, the last rep is hard. Compared to you're out running four laps around the track, the fourth lap is hard. So your facial expressions may change. And training to failure might look different on everybody. But the main thing, the common thread with everybody is that we keep the good form all the way through. And that comes from your core. And when my clients train with me, we're constantly doing abs and core adjacent to the weight training, especially if you're a beginner. Compound movement, standard exercises, all those things have better application when you've learned the fundamentals. You can create a safe and effect program to get going on, but it doesn't end there. And that is one of the biggest mistakes I see. Beginners get beginner's gains, they get them quick, and then they level out. That's like staying in grade school. That's like staying in kindergarten. There's another step to it and another layer to it. So here's just a couple of things. Start with the coach, even if you check in once a month. Master a slow system of progression. My programs are the most efficient as far as time management programs on the planet. And it's worth, like I said, learning it once and not picking up bad habits or information, or it will cost you in the long run. You will learn how to work out smarter and safer. You're going to learn how your body is unique. You're going to learn how to plan and reach your unique health goals. My health goals might not be the same as your health goals, and vice versa. Why building muscle is the best way to burn fat, and how to build muscle with your body type. How to identify and eliminate bad habits, habits that you don't even realize that is affecting your training and your results. When you train with a coach, you get all these tips along the way. For instance, cookie cutter programs are so rampant. What are you going to do in a cookie cutter program when your wrist gets sore and your grip is weak or you've strained your shoulder? Darn it, are you just going to stop? No, you don't have to stop progressing. There are things that you can do to keep going. Is your shoulder killing you on the bench press? Guess what? I'm going to address all of those things as you go. My philosophy is prevention and progression. You can do both. Just a couple quick things. When you're weight training, Make sure that you're strength training at least twice a week. You're hitting every muscle group two times a week. Lift appropriate amounts of weight. For most people, a single set of 12 to 15 reps with a weight that fatigues the muscle will build strength efficiently. As you get stronger, you can gradually increase the weight and make any face you want. Use proper form, learn to do the exercises correctly from the get-go, and remember, the better your form, the better your results, and the less likely you're going to hurt yourself. If you're unable to maintain good form, decrease the weight or the number of repetitions. Proper form matters even when you're just picking your weights up and down from the weight rack. If you're not sure you're doing a particular exercise correctly, ask for help. Ask a personal trainer. Ask a fitness specialist. Ask a coach. Remember to breathe. You're going to be tempted to hold your breath when you're lifting. I work a lot with my clients on breathing. So important. Seek balance. Make sure that you're working all major muscle groups, including your core, your hips, your legs, your chest, your back, your shoulders. Strengthening and opposing muscles is such an important way to build balance front and back. Rest. I have found rest is so important, and sometimes you have to play around with the rest cycles. If you've been training 6 days a week for 6 years, it might be time to train 4 days a week and throw in some other activities on those alternate days. Your body may be ready for that break, and then you're going to get gains and results working 4 days a week as opposed to five. And don't skip the warm-up. It's important that you learn a proper warm-up. Remember, jogging on the treadmill isn't going to get you ready for weight training. So there's where you could jump in and get a little guidance on proper warm-ups. Don't rush. If you're coming in and you only have a half an hour to work out, pick those four exercises. I talked about it in one of my previous episodes. Pick four exercises: squat, bench press, RDLs, and push-ups. Let's just say, I'm just throwing that out there. Pick four. And just do as many rounds of those four exercises that you can in a half an hour without rushing. Don't overdo. Remember, you don't need 6 to 10 sets when you're a beginner. If something hurts, don't ignore the pain. Take a few days off and do other things and let it rest, and then you'll get back to it. Don't forget to write all this in your journal. When you're feeling down and you're not progressing, or you do have a shoulder injury, or you do have to lay off chest, you can just look into that notebook and see you are on track. Just remember to keep it safe, guys. Keep it safe. Lastly, I'm going to talk about the best exercises for glutes and the ones to skip. Glute max is a popular term for building. Just remember that there's no such thing as fat reducing. And TikTok is insane when you look at people who don't really understand anatomy. And it can be so intimidating, guys. I just hope that people who are jumping on these things really want to grow and gain in their efforts. And maybe they're just desperate for results. I'm not sure. I just think trainers are trying to be so innovative and original at the expense of their clients. Just because you are bored or in a hurry to get results is not a reason to take shortcuts that are going to hurt you in the long run. It is a myth. You're going to see lots of myths in your feed. So it's important to understand that, for instance, you can't spot reduce with your exercise program. Now, there's a lot of studying going on about this right now. Pretty interesting. Those scientists who want to deep dive into fat cells, I think it's pretty amazing. But I do want to tell you the only way you can spot reduce is surgical removal. And there are some pretty amazing things going on with removing pockets of body fat off your body. The most important thing is that you do have new patterns of exercise in your program, and you're going to feel like you're getting control more than you ever imagined. Here are some myths. Wider in the sumo stance doesn't mean more glutes. In a sumo, go for a narrow stance on the leg press or the goblet. Again, remember, wider doesn't mean more glutes. Get on a program with lots of variety and variations that is going to get you to your goals, get you to those glutes. Keep it fun and challenging, and try to recruit the right muscle fibers for your goals. If you just don't care and you're just going in to move as much weight around the gym as you can, then that's your goal. Go with it. If that feels good for you, then keep doing that. Hip adduction on the machine or bands uses external rotators of the piriformis. I would rather see you doing a glute max exercise as a hip thrust, a squat, things like that, all part of your lower body routine. Glute pull throughs. I don't know if you guys follow Paul Carter on Instagram, but he's awesome. He's awesomeness. But he called this exercise straight dookie fire. So it's the exercise when you're standing facing away from the cable machine and you pull a tricep rope through your legs with your toes elevated. Okay. The glutes are the biggest muscle in the body and they are capable of massive force, but you need appropriate loads with stability to get them to grow. Basic moves are your best. So in conclusion, glute pull-throughs are dookie. Stick to the basics, things like leg press, go slow. I see people doing leg presses so fast. Get it right. Go slow. Stick to the basics, the RDL, single leg or unilateral. When your stability is challenged, you're going to get a greater range of motion and less potential for load. So you're kind of emphasizing the stability part of the exercise. Not as great for the glute medius, but it's good for the glute maximus. Not training to failure in lunges or Bulgarians is typical because we're working on stability. Hypertrophy is sweet, so keep working all types here. Deadlifts, split squats, step-ups, walking lunges, squats, hack squats, Bulgarians, glute bridges, glute hip thrust, cable glute kickback, curtsy lunges. All right, you guys, thanks for dropping in today. Please drop me your questions and topics you'd like to hear in the comments or email me at closetupfitness@gmail.com or head over to My Trainer Live on Instagram. Thanks for joining today, guys.